We do start a whole new study today, and we're in the book of Deuteronomy, the last of the books of the law in the Old Testament. At this point, the nation of Israel is poised to, right at the entrance to the promised land, to Canaan. And Moses seizes this last opportunity to prepare the people for their new life in a new land. You know, they're starting a whole new chapter in their life. 7 months ago, we started a new chapter in our life. The entire nation of Israel is beginning a new chapter as we open Deuteronomy. And because Moses wouldn't be entering the promised land with them, simply because he was disobedient, he took this opportunity to make sure that the people did not forget their covenant with God. Basically, Deuteronomy is sort of a last will of Moses as he challenges the people to remain faithful to God. The first four chapters, that is, are essentially a historical recap of what they have gone through. The military victories, how two tribes, what we talked about last week, would be living on the east side of the Jordan, not entering into the promised land to live there, but to only seize the land. So as we begin in the fourth chapter, we need to look at, we're going to look at each verse today because it misses something if we take a block of them to look at all at one time. So verses 1 and 2 of Deuteronomy, the fourth chapter. Moses is speaking and these two verses begin this exhortation to the people to live as wise people and to esteem their God. Anybody got a definition, an everyday definition of esteem?
High honor.
Elevate.
High regard. That was the one I found right off, or the one that came to mind right off. It's an admiration or to hold in high regard. And that's what Moses is challenging the people to do at this point, is to esteem their God. In these first two verses, we see the first thing he tells them they have to do. Now, there are three things in this lesson this morning that he admonishes them to do. They're all verbs. What do you know about a verb? It's an action. So you can't just sit down on your laurels and say, oh yeah, I totally subscribe to this. No, Moses is telling them, you've got to get up and be responsible. You've got to put feet to your to what you are saying. Now Israel, the first thing, listen to the statutes and ordinances I am teaching you to follow. Listen, that's the first thing he's telling them to do. How many of us as wives accuse our husbands of not listening? You know, there's just one word at our house that just sends me over the edge. Huh? No matter what I say, the reply he makes to me is, huh? I know he hears me. I mean, we're right there in the same room. I do not have a soft voice. I know he hears me. But he's not listening. And that's what Moses is telling the people. You can hear things, but you have to really listen. As you were raising your children, did you find that if you put your hands on their face like this when you talk to them, they heard you, as opposed to just speaking out, you know, little Johnny, go do so-and-so. No, if you got their attention, and that's what he's saying to them, listen to the statutes and the ordinances I am teaching you to follow. He's not saying that I'm giving you these. He's not saying these are my statutes or these are my ordinances. He's saying I'm teaching you these things so that you may live, enter, and take possession of the land the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. This is their reward for faithful obedience, for faithful following. Live. Moses is not going to enter the promised land. His life is going to terminate. He's not going to live in the promised land. And there's a big difference in living and just existing also. Don't you know people that just sort of seem to float through life? Moses is saying to really live, you have to follow these. And to enter and take possession, God is commanding you to do this. Listen to what he's saying so that you will be able to. Verse 2, you must not add anything to what I command you or take anything away from it, so that you may keep the commands of the Lord your God I am giving you. Here's a warning. Do not add or take away. Don't tamper with the law. You know, we have a society that sort of adjusts the civil laws to suit their own interpretation. You know, just because the speed limit out there on the highway says 35, it'll be okay if I do 50. That's interpreting the law to suit your own wants. But there are lots of forms of taking away from the gospel. How do people take away from the gospel or add to it? Well, sometimes they just pick out a few verses and they concentrate just on those verses. Now, I don't know if you all had this situation as the years have progressed, but I'm trying to think of a polite way to say this. As women's styles changed and what we wore to church became an issue in many congregations. Music, as it's changed, became a battleground as well. We're just picking out things that suit us, and we want to focus on those. Who does that sound like? Well, the Pharisees, for sure. The in the New Testament, those people who were most learned in the law just adapted it to suit their own interpretation. And way back here, before Israel entered the promised land, Moses is saying to them, you can't do this. That's not part of God's plan. God's laws are perfect, are they not? So they don't need me to tweak them, do they? They don't need that. And he's saying, you cannot do that, because if you take away from these, you are lessening God. And then he tells us, you've got to face whatever is in that law head on. Now, one thing that people are very prone to do, we take scripture out of context and passages that are uncomfortable or controversial, what do we do with those? We pass over them, don't we? We just don't deal with that. Why?
Don't make us feel good.
It doesn't make us feel good, and we want to make other people feel good too. So we just don't address those things. It hasn't changed. God's just told his chosen people not to do this. So why do we in modern worlds do it? He told his people not to fear. So we don't have to be afraid of what has been preserved in God's word for us, that it's going to be offensive to someone. There are some things in the Bible that will offend someone. There are some things that God calls wrong that somebody's going to say, well, I don't believe that. I don't believe he meant it that way. Trust me, if God said it, he meant it. He did not need me to make excuses for him. So Moses gets their attention right off by telling them, listen to what I am saying to you. And sometimes we focus just on one doctrine or one idea, taking away from the gospel, the same way the Pharisees did. Verses 3 through 5. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did at Baal Peor, for the Lord your God destroyed every one of you who followed Baal of Peor. Well, that was a recent event. This wasn't something that happened when they first set out on this journey. This was fresh on their minds. And what had happened was, as the people began to worship Baal, a pagan cult god that was used prostitution as part of their worship, a morally decadent kind of worship, God destroyed 26,000 of them. You know, I have to say, that's always amazed me. We have in the Bible all these huge numbers of people that were destroyed, and I look at it and I think, goodness gracious, at the rate we're going, there won't be anybody left by the time they get to the promised land. But God took care of it. There were still sufficient people to go into the promised land. But these people would remember that, and he told them, don't do what your peers did then. But you who have remained faithful to the Lord your God are all alive today. Those of you who did not participate in this pagan worship were spared. That doesn't mean that they were, that it was a happy time for them. I'm sure that some of the people who were spared lost beloved family members that were destroyed. Friends, maybe children. Maybe parents. He said, but if you were spared, it was because you had been faithful to God. Look, I have taught you statutes and ordinances as the Lord my God has commanded me. The thing about this particular phrase is Moses says, I'm the teacher. That's true. I'm teaching you. But these aren't my laws. I'm just the messenger. The lawgiver is God himself, not me. I didn't do this. So you need to listen to him so that you may follow them in the land you are entering to possess. Keeping the law became, or was, didn't become, it was crucial to their claiming the promised land and being able to possess it as God had promised that they would. He says, remember how you should behave. Remember that you are not to behave like those who were worshiping Baal. That's not who you are. Does the world see us different than others as Christians? Do we make a difference in the world? Does the world see us as being different? I had a wonderfully good friend years ago. She's passed away now, a saint. In fact, I taught both of her daughters in Sunday school for years and years. She was the coordinator for the children's division at our church. Sweetest woman that you, very mild and soft-spoken. One Sunday morning during the invitation, a lady went down, visibly shaken, crying, very upset. And as the pastor presented her to the church, the woman asked to speak. And amid the tears and very labored efforts, she said, I am here today because Marion Weber lived a different life in front of me. She never nailed me to the wall. She just lived it in front of me. I've never forgotten that. This quiet little woman who, as I said, was a saint as far as I was concerned. Listen, she put up with both our boys in the children's division. That qualifies you for sainthood. or did at the time. But that made such an impression on me that without any overt action, her life had led someone to Jesus. That's what we all want. And that's what God wants for us. That's what he wants to happen. Moses always deferred to God as being the lawgiver. He only as the messenger. In addition to listening, the second thing that he tells us we're to do is to honor, another verb. Anybody got a good definition of honor? I can't hear you. This, Joe has me wired and all I hear is me in my ears. Respect. Respect. Yes, respect. Regard with great respect. He says this is the second thing you have to do, beginning in verse 6 through verse 6 and 7, excuse me. Carefully follow them. That's the statutes. You got to go back to the previous verse. Carefully follow the statutes, for this will show your wisdom and understanding in the eyes of the people around you. Here's a reward for you. We all like rewards. And God says, if you do these things, I have blessings out here for you. I'm going to bless you. If you're faithful to me, I'm going to bless you. And the fact that you will be esteemed in the eyes of the people around. When they, the people around, hear about all these statutes, they will say, this great nation is indeed a wise and understanding people. Look at the influence you'll have, he says. Look at how you will be regarded by the neighboring nations. Remember, the neighboring nations didn't want any part of Israel. They were in battle against Israel. And yet he says, when they see the difference in the way you live, your influence among them is going to be positive. He goes on and says, for what great nation, here's what the people will say, for what great nation is there that has a God? All of these nations had plenty of gods with a little g. They had gods and goddesses for everything. But he says, what great nation is there that has a God near to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call to him? Look at your witness. My God's greater than those. My God's greater than the God of prosperity, the God of money, the God of position, the God of power, the God of notoriety. My God's bigger than that. And it's going, when I follow him, it's going to increase a witness for him as I do that. Now, Israel wasn't the only nation who had some good laws. There were others in that time period that had some worthwhile laws governing the people. There were some that even focused on moral issues, such as sexual offenses, murder, and the punishments were of a fair nature. But Moses is saying no other nation has a God like our God. The difference here is not so much in the letter of the law, but in the lawgiver himself. That's what makes the difference in God's law. It's not just those words. It's the one who gave it to us. That's what makes the difference. And what great nation has righteous statutes and ordinances like this entire law I set before you today? What made these statutes righteous? Thank you. God was righteous. And so the law that he gave reflected himself. Thus, it is righteous. That's the difference. World religions today don't have righteous statutes because their God is not righteous. Unlike these other nations that were written by men, the law given to Israel was written by God's hand himself. The law as well as those who kept the law were righteous. We become like, we pick up the character of God, a righteous character, when we do the things that a righteous God has laid out for us. We become the embodiment of that. The law was Israel's greatest treasure. wasn't anything they had that was any greater. And in keeping the law, it provided protection and benefit for the nation. The third thing that he tells them, not only to listen and to honor, but here's the part that really gets down to where we live today. The third thing is teach. Now, I'm not a teacher by education. I am not a teacher. I don't have a piece of paper that says I am. And I have to tell you all, people like Gail intimidate me. I am terribly intimidated by people who actually have a piece of paper that says they're a teacher.
Take that paper. She intimidates a lot of people.
Oh. Whether it regards teaching or not, Dennis, okay. I had a room full of them back in our former church because everybody in our county except me, I think, was a teacher at some time. And so I had a room full of these people that were men and women who were teachers. And more than once I said to them, the wrong person is up here. You all are the people who have the piece of paper that says you know how to do this. But this is a commandment for us to teach, to instruct. That's what teaching is instruction. And we can't get past this. You can't just gloss this over. Teaching means that we show or explain to someone how to do something. It's an explanation. It's a guidance. Only be on your guard and diligently watch yourself so that you don't forget the things your eyes have seen and so they don't slip from your mind as long as you live. Folks, that simply says to us there is no retirement for a child of God. You are still commanded to teach when you think your influence has long since gone away. You still have a responsibility to do it. Teach them to your children and your grandchildren. Be on your guard. You know why? You know why you need to be on your guard? Because we forget. We forget. Look at the children of Israel. Just a short time before, they've been worshiping Baal, part of them. And Moses is saying to them, don't forget what you did. Don't forget that your heart and your mind have deceived you into thinking it's okay to do this any way I want to. So we need to be on our guard, to be careful, because we forget easily. We need all the help we can get to preserve and to be faithful. And there are two main ways that we can do this. The first one that helps us to be on our guard is to have a committed prayer life. Now, prayer is more than asking God for things. Prayer is a two-way communication. Yes, we take our burdens and our blessings to God, but we need to be still and wait for God to talk to us. That's the other side of prayer. And that's the side that as humans we have problems with. Billy Graham used to tell the story of a young child whose toy was broken, and he took it to his daddy and said, fix it. And as his daddy was working, you know, tediously to repair the toy, the little boy jerked the toy back and said, forget it, I'll do it myself. Well, that's the way we are with our prayer requests many times. Wait a minute, God, you're not doing this as quick as I wanted you to or the way I wanted you to, so I'll just take this off your hands. You don't have to bother about it. I'll do it. Second thing that we need to work on to be on our guard is to stay in the Word. Stay in the Word. I love to read. I could entertain myself forever and ever reading. I don't get to read much anymore. If you could see my dining room table, you would understand why. It's spread out with numerous books on the Sermon on the Mount that I'm feverishly trying to pull everything together before that first Wednesday night from several sources. So my reading is mostly in the Word now. But you know what? I don't even miss the other. Not like I thought I would. I don't miss the other, and I find something new in God's Word every time I open it. So he says, be on your guard. Watch out. Because if we haven't kept ourselves in line, we're not going to be able to pass this on to the next generation. And that's his final command to us. Teach it to your children and your grandchildren. Make sure that you're keeping them on the right track, that you're opening doors for them. Are they going to listen every time you try to explain it to them? Did you listen every time they tried to? No. But there comes a time when that light bulb goes off and they say, I get it. And even if they didn't, you've been faithful to do what God told you today. Once we've guarded our hearts, this last part is the imperative. We must do it. We must teach. We must inform. We must instruct. We must listen to God. Be sensitive to what he's saying to us. We must honor him and hold him in high regard. And finally, we must be faithful to teach those that come behind us. Father, again, we thank you for today, for every blessing that you shower us with. I thank you, Father, for your word that is so clear on what we should be doing, how we should live, how we should act, and what we need to hold on to. What is it that makes the difference when the world sees us that we are different? Now I ask that as we go into the morning worship time that you would prepare our hearts there for what we will see and hear, that you will guide us through that service, that you will give guidance to those who are in an integral part of the service, that their hearts and their minds will be focused on you. And then help us to live that throughout our lives. Again, thank you for the blessings that we have. Help us to be truly grateful and help us to always honor you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.